Hey everyone, today's episode is on the great saint and desert father, Anthony of the Desert, also called Anthony Abbott, Anthony of Egypt, or Anthony the Great. Today's episode opens with the great hermit coming face to face with a very mysterious figure. Then, as always, we will dive into the ins and outs of Anthony and how to incorporate him into your spirituality. As always, all show notes and bonus content is on Patreon. We are doing some fun, spooky, Halloween, October-related bonus content there. We also just did 9 days of St. Michael, as well as some bonus stuff around the great St. Francis. So check that out. So I hope you enjoy. I really enjoyed writing this episode, so I hope you like it. Thank you in advance for listening, and God bless. Anthony had trouble sleeping. He laid tossing and turning on the cold, sharp, rocky floor. Insomnia was nothing new to the hermit. He rarely slept. But this particular pilgrimage was long, arduous, and his body would need the rest in order to function. Alongside difficult, the journey was also unique, for he was not sleeping at a holy site, nor was he en route to preach, serve others, or even beg for alms. No, Anthony was sleeping in an old, empty tomb on a remote cliff. He was familiar with this desert mountain range. The caves were dwellings or tombs of other hermits, those who gave up their earthly lives to seek out prayer and contemplation. Anthony was one of the more notable, or dare I even say famous, hermits, and he absolutely hated it. While God always provided, Anthony dreaded having to go into town for any form of supplies, because he was met like a celebrity would be, people wanting his prayers, his wisdom, or even to touch his clothes. But Anthony just wanted to sit and meditate alone in the desert, which is what he was doing now in this old, remote tomb in the middle of the night. What was odd, though, was Anthony's calling to sleep in this exact tomb. On a recent trip, it was as if God led him to this tomb, as if God asked him to stop, sleep, and pray there. And of course, Anthony obeyed. What God wanted next, he didn't know, but the pious hermit had lived in caves talking to God longer than he lived in society talking to people at this point, so he knew that God would let him know what to do next. So there he was, laying face down on a cold, rocky floor, his head between his arms to protect his face. The wind would bring in sand that would rub your skin raw, and Anthony learned how to sleep after decades of trial and error. His knees and feet would usually still be rubbed raw and bleeding, but at least sleeping like this, his eyes would be safe, so that he could continue his journey of pilgrimage. Wherever that would lead him, Anthony didn't know. But God would tell him when God was ready. The next morning, Anthony arose in pain. He was in his 60s, at least he thinks so, and his body felt it. Tall, thin, the picturesque image of a hermit, he looked as if the tarot card itself had come to life. He stretched and rubbed his sore limbs before graciously making the sign of the cross. He then arose with his prayer rope in hand and started out the old, small tomb to greet the sun, and to thank God for another day, and ask God what to do next in this strange, spontaneous journey. And that's when he heard the voice. "Hello, Anthony." The voice startled the old hermit, but it also annoyed him. He thought, "Ugh, another seeker, or worse, a fellow hermit looking for my prayers. Please, God, deliver me from this annoyance." The voice then replied, "Oh, Brother Anthony, inhospitality is a sin, is it not? In thinking I'm a fan of yours, isn't that, let's see, that's pride. Yes, pride, and pride's a mortal sin. That's even worse." Anthony quickly turned around to lock eyes with this mysterious figure who seemingly just read his thoughts. He was tall, taller than Anthony, and Anthony himself was a tall man, though he shrunk a few inches in age. This mystery man was young, olive-toned, with bright green eyes, dark hair, but his hair was combed back. He was wearing simple clothes, carrying a walking stick and a sack around his shoulder, and he grinned from ear to ear. A fan? Oh, no, I'm just so often bothered by people asking for your prayers, the man retorted. Oh, what a burden. Who are you? Anthony demanded, taking a few steps back, puzzled. I'm an angel, the man replied. You don't look like an angel, Anthony said. Would you like me to sprout 6 wings and 6 eyes? Or how about 3 heads, human, ox, and eagle? Then would you believe me? I promise, Anthony. This is the form you want to see. I can't be traversing the desert as a beast. You should know this. Anthony continued to stare at the man. Not a speck of dirt or sweat on him, despite the 2-day trek up the mountain, and not a single hair was out of place. My hair looks great, yes. Envy is also a sin, though, Anthony. Anthony replies, prove you're an angel, friend, and I didn't catch your name. Well, angels don't really have names, Anthony, so you can call me whatever you want. You gazed at the stars last night and thought of your sister and you cried, and then you wrote in your diary how you were unsure if she is alive or dead, which, by the way, she's alive. Anthony then fumbled into his knapsack to check to see if the diary had been stolen. Okay. That's enough. Look back at me. Look at me. The angel then started glowing a radiant light, and Anthony could hear the choir of angels singing holy, 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 and he could feel the warm radiance of God, and all the candles that went out in the night were then relit inside of his tomb. And Anthony dropped to his knees. Forgive me, messenger. Have mercy on me. Get up, the angel said. This happens all the time. Okay. Now get up. Well, are you here to tell me what God wants of me? Anthony replied. Are you here to tell me why God has led me here? Yes, Anthony. He did want you in this tomb, so very good, and God is pleased that you heard his call. Your body is weak, though, Anthony. The next phase of this journey will require your strength, so please eat. Anthony was then overcome with an aroma of baked bread and grilled meats. He had gone so long without smelling these things, and he has eaten so little over the last few decades that the smell made him nauseous. I will return again tonight at sundown, Anthony, and I will relay your next steps. And in a blink, the angel vanished, making the sign of the cross. Anthony then knelt down to finish his morning prayer. He then approached the table that the angel had set, and there was a giant feast of bread, wine, meats, and clean water. God truly does provide, Anthony said. However, I cannot break my fast, Anthony said aloud to himself in the cave, because maybe the angel was still there, just invisible. Maybe this was just a test to see if Anthony would break his daily fast. I do not eat before sunset. I fear if I do, I won't provide a perfect prayer to our Lord. So I will wait until your angel returns, God. Anthony then began his afternoon gospel readings, his psalm recitations, and as the sun was beginning to set, he began his repetitive prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. A bright flash of light then came forth like a fallen star and landed right in front of Anthony. It was the messenger, the angel. But Anthony, unbothered, continued, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Ahem, the angel cleared his throat, but nothing. Anthony continued to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. The angel then walked over to the food. You haven't had a bite, Anthony. I promise you're going to need energy for what comes next. Why disobey God like this? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Enough! The angel then kicks sand in Anthony's face. Anthony stands, seeing the angel again, same outfit, carrying the same walking stick and wearing the same knapsack. Anthony, this mission is very timely. Now go and eat. My fast, though. God's messenger, the sun is almost down, and I just... You hermits are so boring, so stuck up, so uptight. This is God's will. Now go and eat. Anthony began lighting candles in the tomb, and he stood in front of the feast, admiring again the breads, the meats, the wine, the water. Come on, Anthony, eat. Let's not make our loving Father mad. Anthony then began to make the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for supplying me. The angel let out an exasperated sigh, almost like the grunt of a frustrated animal. Anthony's words continued, but as he prayed, something caught his gaze in the face of the entire roasted pig that laid on the table. So he looked closer, and something caught his attention. The eye sockets of the roasted pig carcass. There were maggots and larvae crawling in and out. Beetles and roaches began to squirm out of the pig's mouth, and the taut, tanned flesh of the pig began to vibrate as an imprint of a colony of bugs threatened to burst through the skin. To the pig's right, the breadsticks were suddenly enveloped in mold, turning from brown to green to black in seconds. The wine began to steam with a putrid smell. Anthony turned to the angel aghast. What is this? In the name of God, what is this, and who are you? The angel sneered. Well, I am an angel. I just didn't tell you what kind. The angel's handsome face began to twitch. His nose turned into a snarl as a snout grew on his face. His entire head took the shape of a long-beaked, hideous beast. His features took on the form similar to a decaying animal, bloated and washed ashore, so mutilated by death that no one could even identify the species. Just a long snout, pink pale skin, and fangs. And oh, the fangs. The angel, well now, the demon. It had curved fangs like a wild boar, with busted teeth and tendrils of smoke coming from its hideous, disgusting nose. His arms and legs became lanky, thin, and long. His spine curved and his arched back reached the top of the tomb. The demon was speaking, but this time in a language and sound that Anthony could not comprehend, and the smell was revolting. The demon, with his long claws, picked up the staff and threw it at the feet of Anthony. The staff then twitched in an act mocking Moses and the Pharaoh. The staff became a serpent, which then grew into a giant, grotesque, slimy, snake-like demon that stood face to face with Anthony, whose forked tongue and foul breath made the hermit fall with one arm stretched out to protect himself. The snake then curved and moved backwards and rolled around the knapsack that the angel previously had. And the knapsack then turned into a dark, swirling column of smoke. The three demons stood side by side, laughing, snarling, hissing. In a guttural voice, the demon that was previously an angel said, "I told you to eat, didn't I?" The serpent demon, scaly with a dragon-like face, just kept eyeing Anthony, rising up, jerking to right and left, showing the hermit that he had nowhere to go, and he was cornered. But then the column of smoke took shape. It took the shape of a woman with a familiar voice. "Come home, Anthony. It's me, your sister. What if I die? Would you not miss me, brother? Would you not miss me, Anthony?" The shape then took on the form of Jesus himself, but with four eyes and a forked tongue. "You are no son of mine. You are delusional. Your prayers hold no power. Jump off this cliff, Anthony. Bash your head against a stone. I command you." The shape then took the form of Anthony himself, as if Anthony was looking into a mirror. Anthony watched himself bash his own head in with a rock, bloody, bruised, but smiling. Letting out a guttural laugh, the shape-shifting demon then turned back into a column of smoke. Anthony, on the ground, reached for his prayer rope that contained 100 stones, one for each Our Father. And from the ground, he swatted them at the head of the serpent demon, who hissed in pain, but then sighed in annoyance. He threw a nearby cup of water and dirt at the shape-shifting demon, hoping to see the smoke go out, but it did not. Then the giant demon, the one who was previously an angel, the one who towered over Anthony, he simply bent down and put his putrid snout in Anthony's face and mockingly growled, Anthony cocked back and impaled a crucifix right into the eye of the beast. All three demons were stunned and were now a few feet back from Anthony, but they were nowhere close to being defeated. In a line side by side, they each prowled in unison, getting closer and closer. The giant beast, the slimy serpent, the column of smoke inched closer and closer. Anthony still on the ground in a prone position, huddled in a corner. One man versus three inhumane beasts from hell, determined to devour his soul. The warmth and smell of their disgusting bodies were getting closer, and their breathing and hissing were getting louder. And then Anthony laughed. He laughed. He laughed hard. He had forgotten what it was like to laugh. His face muscles hurt when he smiled from years of being such a stoic, strict monk. His jaw almost burst open from the laughter. He dropped his prayer rope, his crucifix, hands on his stomach. He was now rolling in the floor, rolling in dirt, laughing. And the demon stopped, puzzled. The former angel, the giant demon, he demanded, "Why are you laughing? We're gonna take your soul, Anthony. Keep laughing, see what happens." So Anthony did just that. He laughed and laughed some more. Then he collected himself. He stood up, brushing the dirt from his knees and arms and legs. He patted the dust out of his beards and rubbing his face, wiping joyful tears from his eyes. And then he said, "I laugh because there are three of you. If you had truly any power, only one of you would suffice. But since the Lord has made you weak, you attempt to terrify me with numbers. And you take the form of these ridiculous beasts. If you had any power, you would have slit my throat in the form of an angel. So, if you are able, demons, and you truly do have power over me, then feel free to attack. Though if you are unable, don't bother me. For faith in our Lord has created a seal and a wall of safety for me and for all of his children. So be gone with your theatrics, you pathetic demons. Leave me alone. You have no power here." And then with a sign of the cross, the top was blown off of the roof of the tomb, and with a shriek, the demons disintegrated into nothing. Flying overhead, Anthony saw Saint Michael the Archangel and a legion of other angels, and a voice booming from above, "Anthony, I and my angels were here with you this whole time watching. We would not have allowed the demons to attack, but we wanted to see your fight. And since you have endured and have not been beaten, I and my entire celestial court will always make haste to be with you and will ensure your name is known everywhere." Hearing these words from God, Anthony fell to his knees, resuming his evening prayer. It said he prayed with such vigor that his body was given the zeal of his youth once more. However, later that night as he prayed before sleep, Anthony, true to his nature as a grumpy hermit, said aloud, "Thank you, Father. But the next time an angel tries to bother me while I pray to you, I'm just going to do the sign of the cross and ignore it." Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I am your host, W. You have this belief. It's very folksy, though it's believed by some of the more old school Catholics, especially in Italy and Mexico and some other places. You also have it in hoodoo, or what you might refer to as folk magic or conjure. You have this concept of hot and cool saints. Essentially, that there are certain saints that have certain temperaments. Cool saints, you can do whatever. You can pray to them, you can ask for something, you can make a promise, and if you break the promise, you have nothing to worry about. Then you have hot saints, and it's the opposite. These saints are a little more strict. They are a little more hot-tempered, and if you make a promise to them and you don't deliver, then you might have to pay for it. Similarly, if you go to them in a very disrespectful way, you might have to pay for it. And this also ties in with what is referred to as saint punishing. And saint punishing is this practice of taking a saint statue or a prayer card of some sort and doing something to it until the saint comes through for you. Two of the most common examples are actually fairly common and are practiced by traditional Catholics. The first is burying a Saint Joseph statue in your yard to sell a home. You see a lot of Catholic realtors do this, or just a lot of Catholic homeowners trying to sell their house. They'll take the Saint Joseph statue, bury it upside down in your yard. There's a certain prayer which essentially says, "Hey Saint Joseph, help me to sell this house, and once you do, I'll unbury you. But you're staying in the ground until you help me sell it." Seems very non-traditional, and it is. It's very folksy, but this folksy practice is still done by Catholics around the world. Another one is the Saint Anthony of Padua statue. There is a certain Anthony of Padua statue that the baby Jesus is removable, and you could take the baby Jesus off, and you can put it in a little drawer under the statue, and there's a prayer, which is essentially, "Saint Anthony of Padua, I'm asking you to help me with this thing. You're not going to see the baby Jesus again until you come through for me." And that is an example of saint punishing. And how that ties together is cool saints, you can do a little saint punishing. So Joseph, Anthony, they're cool, they're chill, you have nothing to worry about. However, should never do saint punishing to a hot saint, because those spirits do not like being disrespected. And I personally have never put too much stock into hot versus cool saints. Why? One, because I personally do not partake in any form of saint punishing. What I do at my altar is pretty much a traditional Catholic novena. Similarly, my come-through promise are usually very simple. I'll set aside some money before the novena to make a donation in their name to charity, or I'll pray an extra rosary that week. I will go do community service in their name. So I never make these extravagant promises that endanger me from breaking a promise. It's always very simple. So I've never really had to really think about the hot versus cold or saint punishing scenarios. Similarly, again, I'm speaking from a personal standpoint. Culturally, anthropologically, the hot versus cool saint and the saint punishing stuff, it fascinates me. But another reason why my personal practice, I've never put a lot of stock into hot versus cool saints, is because the nature of the saint differs. For instance, St. Peter the Apostle, he is considered a cool saint in various parts of Italy. In fact, there are a lot of villages and cities in which if there's a drought, they will take a giant St. Peter statue, turn it upside down, submerge it in water, usually a river or a lake, and they tell St. Peter, "We will not let you out of this river until you bring us rain." So they're not worried about making Peter mad. They just submerge him in the water. Very common. There's also stories in Italy, but also elsewhere, about hitting St. Peter with a broom to wake him up. You have that with Anthony as well, Anthony of Padua as well. Though on the reverse, in especially New Orleans, Catholicism, and some other places in the United States, Peter is a hot saint, where if you do not follow through with your promise, you might get a house fire. It gets that serious. Or if you turn his picture upside down, you're gonna pay for it in some way. So various cultures view saints differently. Some view them hot, some view them cold or cool. So personally, it's interesting to me culturally, but I don't really follow that. I also believe that spirits will interact with everyone a little differently. However, if there is one saint that I would be fearful of going to, and I would be fearful of disrespecting, it is Saint Anthony of the Desert. And here is why. Anthony of the Desert hated being bothered. He severely disliked being annoyed by people. He was consistently bombarded with people asking to just touch his cloak, asking them to pray for him. They would seek out which cave he was meditating in, so much that he would barricade himself in the tombs, or he would have to move and go to completely different cities. He really, really, really did not like being bothered. So, the story about the saint's life contains elements of not being bothered. So, if there was one saint that I personally would want all of my ducks in a row before I went to, and that I would be very, very careful about approaching, it would be Saint Anthony of the Desert. However, much like Peter that I was mentioning earlier, there seems to be two Saint Anthonys of the Desert. There's this stoic, intense, serious desert father who fought demons, who had all of these healing gifts, who, yes, would shun away people if they would find him, if maybe even curse those who would come to him and they were not worthy. And then there's this Saint Anthony who has a pet pig, who hangs out with livestock, who will go into the village and heal ailing piglets, who's jovial and happy and kind, a little grouchy, but still friendly. So there's two different ones, and that fascinates me. But to me personally, as W the practitioner, these images of Saint Anthony fighting these grotesque beasts just always stay in my head. So this episode will be on the great Saint Anthony of the Desert, and let's discuss this incredible desert father. So who is Saint Anthony of the Desert? He's also called Saint Antony of the Desert. He's also called Saint Anthony Abbot, Saint Anthony the Great, and Saint Anthony of Egypt. A lot of names. I guess first and foremost, let's make this clear. I am speaking of Saint Anthony of the Desert, not Saint Anthony of Padua. Saint Anthony of Padua is the namesake of this podcast. And Anthony of Desert is an entirely different dude. Anthony of Padua is cheerful, friendly, a jovial Franciscan friar, where Anthony of the Desert is grumpy, yet spiritually powerful. So Anthony was born around 250 CE. His parents died when he was 18, and he inherited a small fortune. However, when attending Mass one day, he heard the gospel reading in which Jesus told his followers, or told a rich man specifically, that he must give up all of his riches to follow him and enter heaven. Anthony took this to heart, took this literally. He sold all of his riches. He gave the inheritance to his sister, and he went to live in a cave to pray, meditate, and to serve God. He eventually moved to a community of religious folks that lived in the mountain ranges, and then around age 35, that's when he took up the monastic life seriously and for the rest of his life, and he moved into an empty tomb. And he lived in that one tomb for the next 20 years, and that tomb is still available to visit in Egypt. And he quickly became known as a miracle worker and just an all-around wise man who people would seek out for assistance, both spiritually, but also for physical healing too. And as I mentioned before, he hated this. He did not want to be known. He was very much about killing the ego, about being selfless, did not want the attention either. And he would sometimes barricade himself in the tomb to keep out visitors. However, pesky seekers weren't the only ones he was trying to hide from. His piety, like many saints, you have this with Saint Benedict, Saint Francis, many more. His piety and meditative life also led many demons. And some of the most eerie, fascinating artwork of all time are these paintings, usually have some kind of variation of the name, The Temptation of Saint Anthony, and everyone from Michelangelo to Dali have done versions of these paintings, and they all depict Antony or Anthony battling these grotesque demons. And there's a lot of symbolism there, obviously, because I just mentioned Benedict, who is considered the father of Western monasticism, while Anthony of the Desert is considered the father of monasticism in general. They both fought demons when they were meditating, when they were being contemplative. And you have that with a lot of saints. You have that with Jesus. Jesus went alone to pray, and that's when the devil tried to get him. So there's this symbolism of when we reflect on our spiritual lives, when we try and connect with God and lose self, that is when the demons attack. And Anthony has my favorite stories surrounding those. And the intro to this was kind of my dramatized historical fiction, let's be honest, fan fiction, retelling of one of the most famous stories. So he lived his whole life as a hermit, moving from cave to cave. He eventually would go and open various monasteries throughout Egypt and beyond. And he was also just known as this quintessential wise man. And the Desert Fathers of Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy, they're very fascinating to me as well because they put the emphasis back on our own personal spirituality. If you think about Anthony of the Desert, Mary of Egypt, Moses the Black, dozens of others, they weren't attending mass every day. They were just praying all day, meditating on scriptures. And I think that's really beautiful. And I feel like the laity, we've gotten away from that. We're all about going to mass on Sundays, maybe saying our rosary, but these early desert fathers, if you read their writings, it's very poetic. It's not philosophical, it's poetic. It's all about finding God within ourselves. Very beautiful. And Anthony's writings have become very famous. They're very short. You have that with a lot of the early desert fathers. They're very short, but they're always really powerful quotes. So he would spend the rest of his life starting monasteries, and he eventually retired to a cave near the Red Sea where he died of natural causes. His friend, Saint Athanasius, he would later write out the account of Anthony's life. Athanasius also wrote lives of various desert fathers in a collection. I highly recommend checking that out. And as I said, Anthony is thus considered the father of monasticism. So since Anthony has this great connection with fighting demons, it's said he can also assist you in freeing you from demons. And if you have listened to my three-part series on the demonic, you know that yes, sometimes we are talking about a literal entity. However, we're also talking about demonic influenced thoughts. The demonic is anything that brings us further away from God. So Anthony can assist with any feeling, any compulsion, or any energy that strays us further from God. So the demonic and Anthony fighting the demonic goes hand in hand, and that's probably one of the main ways he is called upon. First and foremost, I would say, is probably his wisdom, his writings, they're beautiful. But second, the lady will call upon him to help banish and fight demons. He's very, very similar to Benedict, which was my first episode. Anthony is earlier, and he is the Eastern version, essentially, and he came first. He's the original. However, alongside with demons, very strangely, Anthony of the Desert is closely tied with livestock. And here's where we start seeing the tale of two Anthonys. We see the strict monastic desert father, but then we see this Anthony that's associated with healing farmers' livestock. And this begins to become more popular in the medieval era. So let's talk about Anthony and livestock, because if you want to get into Anthony of the Desert, you're going to see him always surrounded by various farm animals. And honestly, we're not really sure why. But Anthony is very, very much tied to livestock. They're blessed on his feast day, and pretty much every depiction, he's either fighting a demon or he's hanging out with a pig. And we do have a few clues. Like I said, around the medieval era, Middle Ages, we start seeing more legends about Anthony. They don't come from St. Athanasius. They come from other sources or just cultural tradition. There are some legends there of demonically possessed wild pigs destroying his garden. You also have demonically possessed pigs in the Bible, by the way. And St. Anthony delivers those demons, saving his garden. There are also stories of other legends, various ones of him helping townspeople with ailing livestock. One of the more famous is he helps a woman heal an ailing piglet. And Anthony is also invoked for skin conditions, which again, we don't really know why. There's actually a skin condition called St. Anthony's Fire, and it's named after Anthony because it said prayers to Anthony can cure it. That's all we know. So we still don't really know why he's affiliated with skin conditions. More modern legends have Anthony taking on this role of an herbalist of sorts, and he has various home remedies that can cure these conditions, and here's the pig tie-in. One of those remedies is using pig lard, which can help with various skin illnesses. So there's a potential tie-in. It's the pig lard and the skin element. However, two reasonable suggestions for me that involve the pig and the livestock, it has to do with symbolism. For instance, other Abrahamic religions and some pagan practices, they saw pigs as dirty, where Christians did not. So Anthony being with pigs, it showcased that Anthony was a Christian, and similarly, it was also almost an appeal to the swine herders, which were a very important part of society, having these livestock, these pigs that you would raise. It was kind of a call to them, like, hey, these other faiths, they won't accept you because they think you hang around with these dirty creatures all day. The Christians will, and this guy can be your patron. However, the most fitting for me about the tie-in with Anthony and livestock, and I know I'm getting a little dorky here with mythology and symbolism as part of the podcast, I think the most fitting and the most accurate of why he's depicted with livestock, it's simply an artistic way of saying that Anthony has persevered over the temptation of gluttony, the pig being gluttony, and Anthony now taming that pig and keeping it as its pet. It has tamed that one compulsion, that one sin. And this happens a lot in, I'm going to say folk Catholicism, but Catholicism as a whole. The symbolism that's used in saint imagery, it starts to seep into cultural beliefs. And plenty of saint lore has this happening. Saint Martin or Saint George, they're always on horses. So eventually people will say, okay, you can use this image of Saint Martin with a horse's hoof to stomp out evil in your home. So keep this in your house with a candle lit by it. Or the saints that are depicted with weapons of their martyrdom, like Saint Jude's club. He's often depicted with a club, so eventually over time, but fairly early on, when those images start becoming popular, people will say, okay, well, I will keep Saint Jude over the doorway of my home because he's going to use that club to keep out thieves. So there's this really interesting, fascinating aspect of religious art where it starts to become part of the saint's lore, and I absolutely love it. So it's not out of question that people would see Anthony with a pig, which was intended to be the symbolic statement of Anthony overcoming gluttony, and people just thinking, hey, he likes pigs, I have pigs, he can protect our pigs. And I absolutely love this about folk practices and Catholicism. So how can we approach Saint Anthony of the Desert into our spirituality? Anthony is known to curse just as much as he's known to bless. There's an Italian legend that has a man who is attending a processional, a parade. And during the parade, a statue of Anthony appears right in his face. There was an unexpected stop in the parade, and the statue is face to face with the man. And the man was smoking a cigarette, so the man offered Saint Anthony a cigarette. And it said he was immediately struck blind and mute, but not deaf, because his punishment was that he had to hear how disrespecting saints is something you should never do for the rest of his life. And again, I don't want to fearmonger Saint Anthony. He's a very mystical, powerful saint. His writings and his quotes are something I think everyone can learn from, but I really like the lore here. I really like that in his life, he did not like being bothered. He did not like being insulted. So it would make sense that that would carry over into the afterlife. However, as I said, there appears to be two different Anthonys of the Desert. The strict monastic father who battled and terrified demons, and this jovial saint who, while still grumpy, would still go and heal the townspeople's livestock. Nonetheless, if you go to the saint with a respectful novena, you can't really do much wrong. There's nothing wrong with sitting down and praying the saint's prayer. Saints are here to bless, not curse. And as long as you aren't blatantly disrespecting spirits, and that goes for all spirituality, you have nothing to worry about. Or do you? Dun dun dun. Okay, So his feast day is January 17th. He's the patron of bakers, butchers, and monastics. However, I always recommend you read the lives of the saints, read their stories, and go beyond those things. So you can call upon him for deliverance of demons. If there's a temptation or a literal manifestation, call upon St. Anthony of the Desert. You can also call upon him for skin conditions, strength to remain steadfast in prayer. He was a monk that followed a routine. So if you are having trouble following a routine, whether spiritually, professionally, you can call upon him. As well as if you want more discipline in your spiritual endeavors, when you fast, when you pray, you can call upon him. As far as offerings go, if you relate more to the jovial livestock blessing hermit, you can offer him livestock figurines, pink candles, pink symbolizing the pink pigs, or any livestock-related items. However, if you relate more to the strict desert father, promise to fast if he comes through on your offering or some other penance. Similarly, just offer bread, water, and lots of prayers. There's also a fun ritual to get rid of guests. Of course, as we've been repeating, Anthony did not like unexpected visitors. So if you have an unwanted guest that you want to leave, and you've probably heard variations of this, you hold a broom in your hand while invoking St. Anthony. And then when you're finished, turn the broom upside down and lean it against the back door. It also wouldn't hurt to light a candle in Anthony's honor. And if the guests leave, make a donation to the hungry in Anthony's name. Despite Anthony hardly eating, he was a hermit. He just lived off of bread and water. He's strangely associated with a lot of food. Eating dried chestnuts on his feast day allegedly will protect from mosquitoes. And in Italy, blessed focaccia bread that's colored with saffron is fed to livestock as a way to heal and bless them. Anthony is considered with having power over healing skin conditions. So whenever there's a saint like that, I always recommend using some kind of oil alongside it. I'd usually recommend that saint's relic oil. That's not easy to find. For Anthony, of course, if you can make a pilgrimage to his tomb in Egypt that he lived in, bring a bottle of oil, you know, hold it against the tomb, you have relic oil. However, you can use any form of blessing oil, Exodus oil, or just olive oil. And what I would recommend is having that on your altar during a novena and after your nightly novena prayers, especially if it's for a skin condition, place some on your skin and invoke Anthony for healing. And Anthony is also a terror of demons. So I'd recommend simply placing his prayer card over doorways or on your altar and just invoking him while you pray for any kind of cleansing, delivering demons, and so forth. So alongside your Saint Michael, alongside your Saint Joseph, terror of demons, alongside your Our Lady, you can add Saint Anthony of the Desert as one of the protectors against demonic energy, negative energy, evil eye, and so on. So final thoughts for the great saint. He is a powerful and strict saint, but he's a very helpful one too. And it's kind of the catch-22 with Anthony, at least if you're going on the more, dare I say, superstitious side. I don't like the term superstitious, but for lack of a better term, superstitious side. He's considered a saint you must go to correctly. However, he also is very helpful and powerful when he does. He will over-deliver when he does deliver. Like I said, there's lore about him being hot-tempered, but also lore about him being jovial. But if you're doing a traditional novena and you're asking for something simple, if you make a deal with him or not, you have nothing to worry about if you do everything respectfully. He's synonymous with fighting demons. I highly recommend you check out the artwork surrounding him, as well as some of the stories from Saint Athanasius. He's also tied to livestock. And I would say I really, really enjoy this saint for keeping myself in line when I want to have a consistent prayer schedule, to ensure that I'm doing my personal spiritual practices, my meditative practices, my hesychasm, my chant, my repetitive chant, which I had Anthony doing in the intro, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Very good to invoke for that. And again, very good for removing any kind of negative energy. Really, really fascinating saint. And The artwork is incredible. The artwork's some of the most creepy, spooky, surreal artwork I've seen. I'll ensure to have some links in the description here. So that's kind of it for the Great St. Anthony of the Desert, at least from a practitioner point of view, but I do recommend checking out some of the writing surrounding him and some of the imagery. And as always, we will end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, you gave us the wisdom of the Desert Fathers to teach us an important lesson. That spirituality, while it does have its merits in being something that comes from the mind, something that can come in the form of deep philosophical writings, and something that can be understood logically, there is so much beauty and power in knowing you and serving you and seeking you in the silence of our hearts, through poetry, through prayer, through meditation, through a personal journey. And sometimes when we seep and escape into the darkness of our hearts, we see the dark versions of ourselves. We encounter demons, whether literal or whether demonic energy that pulls us away from you. So God, grant us the power and the wisdom that you gave to the Desert Fathers, especially the great St. Anthony the Abbot, St. Anthony the Great, St. Anthony of the Desert. May St. Anthony be our guide in protecting us from the creatures lurking at night in the darkness, waiting to attack. May you continue to empower the guardian that you have placed over us. And may all of our saints, may all of our angels, may the fierce fire of the Holy Spirit keep us protected. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you for listening to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. As always, I have been your host, W. I hope you have enjoyed. And remember, even the devil can appear as an angel of light. God bless.